hold of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I juggle a lot. And managing constipation with belly pain from my irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, with laxatives and fiber isn't enough. My doctor recommended a way to get ahead of it. Then I said yes to Linzess.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At an outside event in Milwaukee, Donald Trump's running mate, Senator J.D. Vance, offering a hint of his speech tonight at the Republican National Convention.
We're going to get out there and try to fire up the crowd tonight and make the case, a very easy case to make, but an important case to make, that we have got to reelect President Donald J. Trump to the White House.
Vance, once anti-Trump, now set to share the GOP ticket with Trump. High-ranking Democrats now joining calls for President Biden to step aside as the nominee. Today, Congressman Adam Schiff publicly urging Biden to drop out. And ABC News has learned top Democratic leaders also backed efforts to delay the official nomination of Joe Biden. Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu facing pressure from his fragile government coalition to accept a ceasefire deal that would also secure the release of remaining hostages, including Americans held by Hamas in Gaza, and millions of Americans facing another day of extreme heat. This is ABC News. United Airlines says it's temporarily removed a flight attendant from duty following his interaction with a former Super Bowl MVP.
Tomiko Davis tells ABC's Good Morning America she thought her husband, Pro Football Hall of Famer Terrell Davis, was joking when he was handcuffed and taken off a United flight when the family landed in Southern California. But then she looked at her sons.
Who are sitting right next to him, watching their dad being handcuffed.
Davis says he tapped a flight attendant who accused him of hitting him. He's been cleared by law enforcement, but says United's apology has been insufficient.
They reached out to my attorney, but I have not heard from them directly.
Davis says he wants to effect change. Brian Clark, ABC News.
With the upcoming Olympics, there's been concern about the safety of the water in the River Seine in Paris. Today, the city's mayor going for a swim in that river to prove it's safe. But if levels are not safe on the day of an event, it could be postponed or canceled. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's love story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. A Milwaukee man was shot and killed by out-of-town police Tuesday afternoon. The shooting happened just a mile from the Fiserv Forum, where the Republican National Convention's going on. Milwaukee police say officers from Columbus, Ohio, spotted a man identified as 43-year-old Samuel Sharp, armed with 2 knives in a fight with an unarmed man. When Sharp didn't respond to orders to drop the knives, 5 Columbus officers opened fire on Sharp, killing him. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says the officers were assigned to that area because it was identified as connected to the RNC.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life today.
The officers involved in the shooting are cooperating with the Milwaukee Area Investigative Team as they look into the incident. A Wisconsin lawmaker accuses a protester of assaulting him during the RNC. Wisconsin 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orden said in a post on X that a member of the anti-war protest group Code Pink attacked him outside Milwaukee's Pfister Hotel. Code Pink countered with a post on X saying an organizer was unjustly arrested at the RNC after a congressman shoved past her. Milwaukee police reported a 24-year-old woman battered an unidentified victim outside of the hotel late Tuesday morning. The woman was taken into custody while police say the victim suffered minor injuries. A suspicious-looking man with a concealed weapon was arrested Monday near the convention. Milwaukee police say U.S. Capitol Police spotted a 21-year-old man wearing a ski mask and a large tactical backpack on the opening day of the RNC. They stopped the man and found a firearm in his backpack. Officials say the suspect had no legal concealed carry permit for Wisconsin or any other state. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
It's Christmas in July with the Dunn County Fair, July 24th through the 28th at the fairgrounds in Menominee. Enjoy all the fair food, fair rides, and of course, the farm animals. Plus, hear the roar of the engines with races at the Red Cedar Raceway in the grandstands at 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. Then it's the NTPA Regional National Truck and Tractor Pull Saturday nights at 7. It's the Dunn County Fair, July 24th through the 28th. At the fairgrounds in Menominee.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're entering a dry and sunny stretch. However, high temperatures today staying well below average with some breezy winds out of the northwest, keeping our highs down to the low 70s. It'll be a crisp and comfortable day today with highs tomorrow climbing to the upper 70s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 72.
And live from Washington, D.C., welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America, as it is day two of our special coverage of Corn Congress 2024 with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association, a special episode of the monthly grind here on AOA today. We had a great show yesterday talking a lot about sustainability and demand and new uses for corn. Well, today we're going to turn our attention more to policy and the markets. Coming up later in the show, we're going to talk with NCGA CEO Neil Caskey, along with VP of Public Policy Brooke Appleton. We got things to go through like the Farm Bill, the Mexico GM ban, ethanol access, exports, and so much more. So looking forward to that discussion coming up here later on the program. But let's start with markets here today on AOA. Joining us for the first half of the show, she is the lead economist for NCGA, Krista Swanson. Krista, thanks for being with us here today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And thank you for traveling here to DC to be with our group.
Definitely. This is always a fun week, I know, for NCGA, bringing so many folks together to set policy, talk policy, elect new folks to positions on various action teams and boards, and have that opportunity to go to Capitol Hill and things like that. It's really just a great time to bring everyone together, isn't it, Krista?
Yeah, really a lot gets accomplished here in this week. And like you said, today's kind of today's the Hill visit day. So mm-hmm. A lot of our states and members are hitting those congressional offices with visits and, you know, highlighting our priority issues.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm sure a priority that maybe members have been asking you about this week is the markets and where things stand with prices right now on the board and things like that. And let's kind of talk about this, and let's maybe think back to that acreage report we got at the end of June. I know that was a hot talking point in the markets. And then even the July WASD report that was last week kind of incorporated some of those numbers, a few surprises on the corn side, things like that. So, I mean, let's look at some of this latest data and let's think about that acreage report. Kind of what was the big takeaway for you from the acreage report here at the end of June?
Yeah, well, in the acreage report at the end of June, that USDA showed based on, this is based on surveys of farmers, by the way, corn planted area for all purposes would be 91.5 million acres. And the earlier survey of farmers that was published in March, the March planting intentions report had indicated at that time 90 million acres. And if we go back a step further, back in February, USDA had initially projected 91 million acres. So we've kind of been from 91 million down to 90 million and now back to 91.5 million acres. And of course, anytime we make those changes in acres that even though throughout all this, the yield projection has currently stayed the same, that influences where production falls.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Well, and I know you think about that planted area at 91.5 million acres. There have been obviously some challenges with weather here this year, but I've made this statement a couple of times. It seems like the weather positives are kind of outweighing the weather negatives right now to some degree. I mean, talk about some of the factors that could maybe have an impact on this planted acreage moving forward.
Yeah, so I guess I'll first note that in this report too, a few years ago, USDA started noting the acres that were unplanted still at the time of the survey. So these are farmers who said, yes, I'm planting this to corn, but it is not yet planted at the time that the survey was conducted, which is the first week or two of June. And so, you know, that was at 3.36 million acres for the report. And so I think there was some thought that maybe some of those acres weren't going to get planted because there was some rainfall in some areas at that time, some flooding that may have kept them out of the field. But I go back to last year and note that there was a couple million unplanted last year as of that report. We ended up planting all those and then some. Mm-hmm. You know, so that doesn't necessarily mean that those won't get planted or that it doesn't necessarily mean that we would see that come down. But yes, wet weather in some areas caused some delays this spring, you know, particularly kind of in the North Dakota, Minnesota regions. You know, another reason that we might have this. So as we've been talking about, the acreage report showed acres increasing from March, but this is down about 3% from last year's acres.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have higher input costs compared to soybeans or, you know, maybe an alternative crop that a farmer might go in. But I mean, ultimately, a lot of farmers, especially in our corn and soybean growing regions, when they make their planting decisions, a lot of it is just that agronomic rotation, because that's so important. And so, you know, you kind of tend to see these cycles where corn goes up and down and up and down within a few million acre range.
Definitely. Well, I think about this and the acreage and whatever it ends up being, whatever the harvested acreage is come this fall. I mean, that's always going to be something that's hotly debated, things like that. I think about, though, just some of the bearishness in these grain markets right now. It really feels like a function of we have a lot of supply or a lot of anticipated supply and not as much demand, although corn has maybe been the bright spot of our demand. So, I mean, talk about what does this overall supply and demand equation kind of look like for producers?
Yeah, well, right now where we're at with acres, and also like you alluded to the harvested acres, which is really, I think right now the market's going to turn attention to two things, and that is yield and harvested acres. Those are what's going to drive the where that final supply number ends up. And of course, both of those right now are kind of a function of weather. And so I think, you know, that focus on weather is going to be, you know, where the market's attention's at a little bit. As far as what that means for the corn balance sheet, you know, there right now USDA is still projecting a 181 bushel per acre yield, and that would be, we just hit a record yield last year at 177.3, and this would be another record. You know, and I'm hearing from some farmers who say their crop looks fantastic. This moderately coolish summer weather the next couple weeks is good news. And then you hear from others who say their corn is, you know, knee high and doesn't look great at all. And so it's really hard to pinpoint where that production number ends up, but it seems like the market's still gunning for that another record yield set. And so, you know, that puts supply in a plentiful area, especially if we don't see a big reduction in harvested acres, which could be the alternative. Those things kind of work opposite of each other, because if we start to shave harvested acres, then yield has that potential to be higher because you're knocking off some of those potentially lower yielding acres had they been harvested. Yeah. And so we're kind of watching those things. But yeah, with where we're at on planted acres right now, it seems, and the expectations, at least on paper, for yield, it seems like, you know, we're looking at another over 15 billion bushel corn production, which means that demand is really important.
Yeah, very, very important. Well, we're going to talk more about that coming up in the next segment, and we want to weave that into a conversation, a new study that I know you authored, looking at the contribution of corn farming to the U.S. economy. So we're going to continue with Krista Swanson, lead economist from the National Corn Growers Association, and we will talk more about that new study coming up after this as we are live for a special episode of the Monthly Grind on AOA at Corn Congress, Washington, D.C. We'll be back with more right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
What I know about...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And And we continue here live from Corn Congress 2024 in Washington, D.C., a special episode of the Monthly Grind here on AOA. Of course, we do the Monthly Grind the first Wednesday of every month with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association, but spending some extra time with them here this week in Washington, D.C. And right now we're talking with NCGA lead economist Krista Swanson. Krista, I want to bring this up as well and talk about it. I know a new study you just released, I believe, last week, contribution to corn farming to the U.S. economy. Talk about this a little bit. Maybe give us that overview to start of what you found with this study.
Yeah, thanks for bringing this up, Jesse, because this is something I'm really excited about that we were able to do and excited to talk about it, too. So this study showcases corn farming's contribution to the economy, and it just really highlights the role that America's corn growers play in our nation's rural and economic value chain. And so what we start with is it's based on 2023 corn production. And so as a reminder, in 2023, we produced 15.3 billion bushels of corn that was valued at $73.9 billion. So that's the output contribution directly from corn farming. That correlated with that is $20.7 billion of contribution to GDP and $12 billion in labor wages and benefits. And so, you know, that's that direct contribution figures. But one of the cool things with this study, I use a model from InPlan, which is a tool that allows studying the impact throughout the economy. And that includes not only that direct, what's happening at the corn farm level, but also the indirect, which is activities stemming from activities related to corn farming up the supply chain. So mm-hmm. This is like our fertilizer production of equipment that is used for corn farming.
Okay.
And so, you know, we have financial services and insurance, anything that the farmer is purchasing for the purposes of their corn farm, the linkages to that. And then the induced effects, you know, where are the farmers spending money? That's the induced effects of household spending that was from money generated from corn farming. And so when we put all of those together, corn farming's economic impact, totaled $151 billion in output or production value and, almost $62 billion in value added, which is that contribution to GDP. So just some really amazing statistics here that show that, and I should also note that this is across all 50 states. You know, mm-hmm. we there's not corn grown, or I should say at least not reported by USDA in all 50 states. We don't have much corn production in some states, but even where there's not corn being grown, mm-hmm. that upstream supply chain and those induced effects, like there's still that relationship that's contributing to the economy that wouldn't be happening without corn farming.
Yeah, we're not harvesting corn in Alaska, you know, but those upstream effects you mentioned, and I have to think that just the way that corn farming translates into that rural economy so much, you know, folks going to their local grocery store and spending money there or seed, chemical, fertilizer, et cetera. It's just that overall health of the rural economy is healthy in many ways because of the agriculture industry and because of corn farming, right?
Yes, for sure. And I think, you know, especially as we're sitting here in DC this week and our members are out talking to members of Congress, and you noted at the beginning of the segment, and I know you'll be talking more with Brooke here in a minute, but, this is a message that we can share with members of Congress who don't have corn production in their area. You know, this is still having an impact in your state and is still, corn farmers and our priorities should also be important really across the board because that extension throughout the whole country.
And I think, Krista, it's important that, you know, we highlight this study. I know it's available at ncga.com and folks can really take a deep dive there. But seeing a study like this in the backdrop of the current inflation economic environment as a whole, farmers, you know, looking at some of these lower prices and not necessarily happy. We got,
on farm stocks are pretty large, things like that. So, I mean, you know, weaving this into the current kind of outlook here, I mean, talk about that a little bit, because it's important that corn farming, of course, and agriculture as a whole is so supportive to the rural economy. But I know we're working through one of those down cycles right now. We always see these up cycles, down cycles, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So we go, have those ups and downs in agriculture, certainly. I think that, and I kind of noted this already, but, you know, we have, our corn growers have challenges right now, higher input costs, lower prices, tariffs, and some trade barriers. And, you know, just as we're out meeting with our policymakers, I think it helps us to show that, you know, hey, here's some situations that are tough for us, and we have potential to make some of those things better on the policy front that could help us. And here's why this should be important across the board, because it's not just about our corn farmers, but it's about the contribution that they bring across the economy. And yeah, definitely some challenging things to deal with. We didn't talk about this earlier, but aside from that acreage report that came out in late June and the WASDE report that came out last week, there was also the stocks report in June. Mm-hmm. And that's also been a hot topic that showed that we have the highest on-farm stocks levels since 1988. I don't think any farmer likes a comparison to anything in the 1980s.
Nope.
So we don't want to see that. But yeah, definitely, you know, just it gives us some numbers to help share our story and how that goes throughout the whole economy.
Well, and thinking about that high on-farm stocks, let's talk a little bit, you know, specifically about some marketing things here as well, because obviously new crop contracts, you know, D's corn's right around the $4 mark on the board, basically. And you compare that with that high, you know, those high input costs. And obviously there's a lot of farmers that are concerned that, you know, the price of corn for new crop is below the cost of production at this point. So, I mean, talk about that a little bit. What can we watch for here over the next few weeks ahead? I know funds are record short. I mean, so things like that. There's a lot that is, everyone's kind of going to the bearish side of the boat, so to speak, here in the markets.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like as the old saying goes, the cure for low prices is low prices. Yep. And we have this, definitely this setup where it seems like, you know, we have some good stories to tell on the demand front. We have still have some unknowns on the supply side. We have, a market testing some lows for the year in the nearby contract. And, seeing that $3 mark is not something that any farmer is going to be excited about, seeing a three on corn, but we're right there at that threshold. And actually, according to USDA's cost of production data, the average cost to produce corn right now is over $4.80 a bushel. And so that's not a great margin to be in. But I do think that we are to this position where the bears have definitely are really heavy right now. Like you mentioned, you know, CFTC just reported last Friday afternoon the record short position and the corn contract and where managed money is positioned. And I mean, I don't know when it's going to be, but at some point, I think we have to see the tides turn and we get to that point where we've priced ourselves so low that we do buy some more demand. And, you know, I know you were talking about our market development team and met with them. They were on your show yesterday. And, you know, so, I mean, we're working on how do we keep stimulating demand, because U.S. farmers can produce a lot of corn and other parts of the world as well. So if we want to keep producing this level of corn, demand is really critical.
U.S. farmers are good at their job. Corn farmers are good at their job. That's, you know, what it comes down to, and trying to find some of these new uses for demand. So I get just kind of wrap it up here for us, Krista, and great stuff. And again, that study is on ncga.com. I guess, what would you want producers to kind of think about and take home here as they're looking at their marketing and more here through the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, I think I actually on Monday morning talked to all of the members that were here for our action team meetings of people from different states and gave an economic update and outlook at that. And, you know, my take home message or my closeout to that was just that, you know, there's a quote that a setback has often cleared the way for greater prosperity. And I feel like, you know, this situation is tough right now. And I think that this is when, you know, innovation happens and we sharpen those, sharpen our pencils and our tools and, you know, it really get down to it. And mm-hmm. then that's what leads to that future prosperity. So
We'll hope for that. And we'll definitely be looking to see if we can get a little bit of a rally in this market here as we get into the second half of the year. With that, Krista Swanson, lead economist with NCGA. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch the focus over to the policy side. We'll talk with Brooke Appleton and Neil Caskey for the National Corn Growers Association. They'll join us next here on AOA Live from Washington, D.C.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
We're listening to AOA.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Wunakins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 7 to 1981, September up 12 to 2042, October up 10 to 2051, November up 24 to 2019. Live and feeder cattle markets were up mostly higher on the day as some technical support helped to advance the markets. Also, there had been a sideways type of trade in the grain markets. While they still closed higher, it was still enough, not high enough to pressure live or feeder cattle markets. Hog markets, meanwhile, they moved mostly higher once again. Again, technical buying helping to support the markets along with strong pork cutout values. August live cattle up $1.60 to $184.27. August feeder cattle was down 7 cents on some technical resistance at $258.55. August hogs up 37 cents to $91.65. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets mostly higher as the market eases oversold conditions. The cooler weather looks to persist for much of the week with little moisture concerns. Soybeans were mostly mixed on the day. Some of the product is faltered in the midday. That pressured some of the soybeans. Contracts. Wheat harvest is starting to ramp up. That helped to support wheat markets along with the dollar at the bottom end of the trading range. New crop corn up 3 to 4.11 and 3 quarters. New crop beans down 2 and a quarter to 10.41. September wheat up 8 and a half.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
You're driving down the road, minding your own business, when suddenly you've entered the crash zone. Better call JKO Auto Body of Durand. JKO Auto Body will bring your vehicle back from the crash zone with factory replacement parts so your vehicle will look brand new, and they work with all insurance companies. JKO Auto Body also has a loaner car available while they repair your vehicle. So when you've entered the crash zone, call JKO Auto Body, Madison Street, Durand.
Keep
keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue our special episode of the monthly grind here live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C. with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. Of course, the monthly grind, we do it every single month on the first Wednesday of the month on AOA. It always talk about a lot of different things surrounding what the Market Development Action Team and others are doing at NCGA, talking about new uses, demand, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we also talk about policy and trade and markets, of course. We just did that in the first half of the show with Krista Swanson. We want to put a focus on some policy issues right now here for the rest of the show. Joining us for a conversation first, he's the CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, Neil Caskey. Neil, it's good to see you again. How are you?
All good. I should just say thanks to Jesse, to you and your team. We can't be effective advocates without just partners in the media that are helping to tell and extend our story. It matters so much what you guys do, and we're just grateful for the partnership.
Definitely. Well, I'm happy to be here and happy to do it. And it's always great to talk with folks with NCGA, as you guys are doing a lot of work behind the scenes for U.S. agriculture. Also joining us here today, VP of Public Policy, Brooke Appleton. Brooke, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having us and coming to us. You made it easy on us.
Yeah. Well, you know, any opportunity I get to come hang out with you guys and spend some time in D.C., I will take it for sure. And of course, you know, we got a lot going on here on Capitol Hill. I think, of course, Farm Bill has been this hot topic that we have been looking at and talking about now for what feels like forever. Where are we at right now, obviously, with this Farm Bill? It feels to me, and Brooke, maybe I'll start with you on this. It feels to me that we had all that movement in May, mm-hmm. and things have gotten pretty quiet on mm-hmm. the Farm Bill now all of a sudden. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know about quiet, but we haven't seen, we've seen a little bit of movement since May. But to your point, you know, this current Farm Bill originally expired in September of 2023, and Congress did extend it for a year. So we're looking at this current extension ending at the end of this September 2024. So we are, you know, just as I think all of agriculture are, really the big message this week is we want to see a comprehensive bipartisan Farm Bill passed this year. As we all also know, there is an election upon us. I think we're about 112 or 111 days away from November 5th. And, you know, that just changes dynamics within Congress, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you'll have new members, you'll have a new Congress that starts at the beginning of the year. And so what seeing a Farm Bill go into 2025 just further complicates, you know, getting it done quickly. And, you know, they got to get up and running. And if there's a switch in administration, that also matters. And that plays into the timeline and the dynamic. And so I think really what we have really told our folks this morning and have been telling them all week is we want to apply some pressure this week, make sure they know that the Farm Bill is needed, that, that we'd love to see it done this year in a bipartisan fashion. And so that's really been hopefully the message that carries the day this week. But, you know, we give a ton of credit and the committees, both the House and the Senate, they have been working diligently. We know this is something they're waking up every day thinking about, going to bed every night thinking about. We all know that everyone wants to see an end result here and a positive outcome by the end of the year. So really just applying that pressure this week, I'm hoping that we can help move the needle a little bit.
Yeah, well, and Neil, I think about this too. I mean, we presume we're going to have another extension. Well, that would put us 7 years into a five-year Farm Bill. And I know just for a lot of corn farmers and a lot of folks in agriculture, I mean, it's, you know, think about where we were 7 years ago. Well, the dynamics have really changed. So that's why, to Brooke's point, it's important to try and get this new Farm Bill done in a timely manner, right?
Yeah, only in Washington, D.C. can 7 = 5, right?
Yeah.
we're lucky to have that math to work with. And I mean, I just to reiterate what Brooke was saying. I mean, we've got, you know, a whole cadre of growers that are on the Hill right now telling their story, you know, making the case for a Farm Bill this year. I mean, you think about where we are right now in the broader agricultural landscape. I mean, you obviously have prices that stink. We're looking at, you know, just layoffs from major ag companies and just crazy weather that, you know, that all these, they have to manage all of that. And so a farm bill to me, like, you know, that safety net is what's necessary to kind of fuel the, that rural American comeback that mm-hmm. we're all counting on. And that's going to come on the demand side.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Well, and thinking about what seems to be holding up this farm bill most, Brooke, it seems like it's some of that traditional divide between protecting the nutrition title versus farm programs. And, you know, that's kind of a Democrat versus Republican traditional debate here. You throw that under a farm bill that has got a massive price tag. And it feels like that's the number one kind of hold up here, it almost feels like. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the paying for the bill has been so much of the discussion, and you know, it's always part of the discussion, right? And I feel like, and we saw it in 2014, we saw it again in 2018. I mean, we all kind of figured out how to get there. And, you know, again, tons of credit to the ag committees for leading that and having those tough discussions. So we all know they can do it. We all know it can be done. And so just trying to figure out, you know, the best way for us to be supportive of that effort. But it really is kind of coming down to budget. And again, back to my point about the election, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's definitely narratives of, well, maybe, you know, this party's just waiting to see if they're going to be in charge. Then they want to, you know, there's a lot of that speculation. We're trying not to play too much into. We're really just trying to focus on comprehensive bipartisan farm bill this year, right? Yeah. But yes, a lot of that is playing out. You're seeing it play out in real time and in the news, and those discussions are definitely real and live, as I like to say. And we've seen them do it before. We really hope that they can work through it and that we can move forward. And we're just here to be supportive of that and chime in where we can.
Neil, I mean, do you think the heated political rhetoric, to Brooke's point, has maybe taken, you know, hold here as well in this whole farm bill discussion, whether it be an election season and, you know, we're 100 some days out and things like that and the splits on Capitol Hill? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is that kind of the overarching issue here right now?
I mean, that colors every single decision that's made out here in Washington, D.C. And I mean, I mean, obviously there are implications for farm bill. I mean, but I also know, like, you know, there are people, you know, in these offices, on those committees that care deeply about rural America, that care deeply about America's corn farmers. And so we're connecting with them and their staffs today. And, you know, we believe that, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, like, you know, they're going to do what's best for the country, what's best for their constituency, mm-hmm. and what's best for rural America. And you know, this we need this farm bill. I mean, there are, you know, they're tough times right now. And I think that the single greatest thing right now that Congress could do to signal that they hear what's happening in rural America is pass this farm bill. I mean, like, that provides a safety net that is needed to, you know, to grow with confidence. And so, mm-hmm. and we're on the Hill right now delivering that very message.
We're talking with Neil Caskey and Brooke Appleton from NCGA here on AOA. Brooke, talk about some of those priorities of NCGA for this farm bill and give us kind of the rundown of what you guys are talking to folks on Capitol Hill about here this week.
Sure. So we, you know, over 2 years ago now, I guess, really kind of established like four-ish pillars, if you will, of priorities for us. So I'd like to say those years between farm bills are homework years, as we mm-hmm. do a lot of analysis, we study, we look at the current bill, what's working, what's not working, and we survey our growers. And we do a lot of work in the middle of these farm bills to kind of come to a conclusion about where we want our priorities to land for the following or for the next farm bill. So I think, as has been for many farm bills in the past, our number one priority was making sure that we maintain a robust federal crop insurance program and protect that program, as it's so important to our growers, with, you know, close well over 90% of our corn farmers buy crop insurance, and they use that as their primary safety net for their crop. So that was a big one. And we feel very good about where we, what we've seen in the House bill and what the Senate committee is talking about on, they both have frameworks for a bill. They don't, there's no language on the Senate side yet, but we feel good about where that is. So that's been a big message for us. Also the programs that provide trade promotion, the MAP and F&D programs that, that are in the trade title of the Farm Bill has been big. You know, we've been part of a very broad coalition within agriculture to ask for doubling of that money. Mm-hmm. We did it through the 2018 Farm Bill. We got a little bump up there. And then we're seeing in the House mark, and then we'll see where the Senate side lands, where that money has been doubled. And so we feel really good about that. I mean, so much of what we talk about at the National Corn Growers Association is about creating more demand for our product, and those programs play a big role in that. So, and the return on investment for the American taxpayer is great. Mm-hmm. So we feel good about that. So those are two big ones. The other one is, of course, strengthening that producer safety net in Title I and the Title I programs. You know, we did a lot of analysis about the two, you know, PLC and ARC over that in between farm bills, and we had some recommendations for both committees. We've seen a lot of that included in what they're currently talking about. So we feel good there. And then, you know, the voluntary conservation programs, which are in Title II, again, solid. We feel like we're on solid footing there. So all in all, where we wanted to be, we feel really good about, you know, what has been included. There are definitely a few things that we wish they would have included, mm-hmm. you know, and we can all take a look at a 1,000-page bill and find a couple things maybe we don't like, but that's okay. That's okay. We've overall feel really good. And that has been, you know, the kind of pillars that we sketched out over 2 years ago, you know, have kind of come through, and we feel good about where we are.
Definitely. Well, we are going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about some other topics that are on the mind of the National Corn Growers Association. We'll be back with more here on AOA live from Corn Congress with Neil Caskey and Brooke Appleton from NCGA. We'll be back right after this.
If you're
at Progressive, we know money can't buy you happiness, but money did help you buy an RV, which means an excuse from working Saturday with your insufferable coworker, Dave. So money is helping you listen to birds chirp instead of Dave chirping about how his toddler is fluent in three languages. And it's also why you'll be smelling pine trees in the air, not Dave's tuna melt reheating in a microwave. So save money by bundling your RV or boat insurance with home or auto from Progressive and buy more happiness or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-205-5350 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-low conditions versus API SP test limits.
Sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time.
We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA as we continue our special episode of the Monthly Grind coverage from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C. We're talking with Neil Caskey, CEO of the National Corn Growers Association, and Brooke Appleton, VP of Public Policy. We talked Farm Bill in the last segment. Let's talk about a few other topics that I know are on the minds of corn growers and NCGA. Neil, the Mexico GM ban. Give us an update there. I've seen a few things about this since the election of the new president in Mexico, things like that. So where do things stand with that GM ban?
So the panel, the dispute panel, I should back up and say, you know, obviously Mexico is a very important customer of ours. They buy a lot of corn, about $5 billion worth annually. That can inflate to $10 billion if you factor in corn in all forms. And so they are a great customer, and when you talk to the trade down there, I mean, they'll tell you that they want our corn, they need our corn, they love our corn, and obviously ran into, an odd situation on the heels of ratifying the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, which was a good agreement by any stretch, and provided for protections on biotechnology that we were supportive of. And then, just a few short months later, we heard, I don't know, it broke through like what, 10, 15 decrees on GM corn ban going back in what, 2023. And so I guess it's all kind of come to a head. Grateful that, we had a very supportive administration, USTR, brought this to a dispute panel a year ago. And so it's kind of coming to a head now. The parties met last month within this dispute panel. And they heard, they heard our case. They heard obviously from the Mexican government as well. The Canadians, coincidentally, are on our side for all the right reasons. We were expecting a decision, I guess, in the fall. And I know based on, just the whole situation. I'm very confident that, you know, the ruling will go our way. I mean, we've got the facts on our side, we've got the law on our side, we've got the treaty on our side, and so just looking forward to obviously, you know, getting that behind us. Just disruptions, unnecessary disruptions like that, and just you know talks of, you know, there's and tariffs and other things are just, you know, obviously concerning to an industry like ours. It's very export dependent. And so, you know, we are blessed with the ability to grow an amazing crop. That's what these growers every year, you know, despite whatever challenges they face. Last year it was drought. This year, you know, in many cases it's too much water.
Yep.
Year over year, the American corn farmer can make an amazing crop. And so, you know, it is our job to make sure that there are markets for that commodity. And so we are able to, you know, sell a lot of corn around the globe. And so we want to be able to do that and build those markets, you know, continue to serve key customers like Mexico and develop other markets around the globe as well. And so, you know, just getting a goofy, you know, ban on corn, GM corn down in Mexico is just an unnecessary disruption that when you get behind us, and so that we can continue to sell more corn around the globe.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up exports there too, because obviously, to your point, Mexico is such a key partner, so many other countries as well, and that's a lot of the work that I know NCGA does behind the scenes to keep those current customers and those current markets open, but then look at some of those new developing markets as well. Another thing we should talk about, Brooke, is ethanol. Never fails. It seems like there's always some sort of news going on around the ethanol industry. I know there's a lot out there right now with various court cases and things like that. But from NCGA's perspective, what are some things you're watching right now within ethanol and how, you know, that ties in with the corn industry, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I'll touch on a few of the policy things that we're focusing on and that we've asked folks to talk about today on the Hill. So the big thing for us, and something we have been advocating for the better part of 5 years, is legislation called the Next Generation Fuels Act. It is our number one legislative priority. And really what this legislation will do, it would transition the gasoline supply to lower carbon, high octane fuel, reducing emissions, increasing vehicle fuel efficiency, and removing barriers to higher blends, which is something I know the industry has been working towards, you know, for almost two decades. So E15 is kind of that first step. And then, you know, we're looking ahead to higher blends and how that can be brought into the mix. And again, getting back to that, you know, emissions reduction, which is the focus of so many companies and automakers. And then, you know, you kind of move into the sustainable aviation fuel space. We could talk about that in a minute, because that's a top of mind as well. But so that's a big one for us. You know, we've been slowly gaining support and understanding from Congress on this issue. And I'm sure that that's going to happen even more today. Every time we bring our farmers into town, I feel like we pick up a few more people as they're really good at telling their story and talking about the importance of that on the Hill. The other thing that's been around for a long time, you know, is kind of getting year-round E15. That meaning that we can sell E15 every day of the year all over the country.
Yes.
That's had a lot of fits and starts over the years. I've been working in and around the corn industry for over 10 years. And this is something that we've been working on for that amount of time and plus some. You know, there's just some hurdles on Capitol Hill on kind of getting it done as anything else. It's a political football, as someone said yesterday, which I think is a perfect way of explaining it. So that will be a big part of the discussion today. And then lastly, as I mentioned, on sustainable aviation fuel, there's been guidance on the 40B tax credit. We're looking forward to the 45Z tax credit, which goes into effect, or they all kind of roll up together in 45Z starting January 1, 2025. Yep. So there's just some stuff in that guidance that really didn't work from a farmer perspective that we're talking about today, including that bundling of the practices around climate smart agriculture. So that's really the big message. So I'd say those are the three kind of policy policy things that we're asking for and that we're talking about on Capitol Hill today.
Fantastic. Well, we're up against the clock. Thank you both for joining me here today. And of course, you know, I'll say this, a good push for membership for folks to have their voices heard. NCGA.com is a great place to start, I'm sure, isn't it, Neil?
It is indeed. We're grateful for the members that we have and stronger with new members that we can add. And so, Jesse, thank you for that plug. And thank you to all the corn farmers out there that make us impactful.
Definitely. Neil Caskey, Brooke Appleton with NCGA. We're out of time here on AOA, live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain. And you held on to them just in case.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine. But he can hear gears grinding. Or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand.